Welcome to Pushing Up Lilies. I'm your host, Julie Mattson. Pushing Up Lilies is a weekly true crime podcast with spine-tingling, unusual, and terrifyingly true stories from my perspective as a forensic death investigator and a sexual assault nurse examiner. Do I have some stories for you? Are you ready? I wanted to fill you guys in a little bit on Cleotha Abston, who is the 38-year-old who is being accused of the murder of Elisa Fletcher. She is a 34-year-old teacher, avid runner from Memphis, Tennessee. And this case really hit home for me because my daughter is the same age, was also a teacher, is no longer teaching, but it's so hard when people are going through things that are your child's age and they live far away and you feel like you can't protect them. And so this case just hit really close to home for me. But I wanted to give y'all some information on this guy because I've been kind of piecing together a timeline of his life. And it seems like he was only 11 when he first entered the juvenile court system. So at the age of 12, if you can only imagine a 12-year-old, he was charged with aggravated assault with a weapon, rape, and theft. What aggravated assault means is that he brandished a weapon during an assault. It's actually possible to be charged with this even if you don't injure the victim. So over the next 5 years, he was actually held 16 times for multiple different charges. Those are ranging from aggravated assault to rape. One of his rape victims was even male. So he was placed in custody of youth services multiple times as a teenager. And then after a 6-month stay in juvenile detention, he was released home to his mom. And then 2 weeks later, he committed a crime of kidnapping and was transferred to an adult court. That specific kidnapping occurred. It was actually May 25th of 2000. A very prominent defense attorney in Memphis, Tennessee, by the name of Kemper Durand, was actually walking to his car after a party on Beale Street. A gunman walked up behind him, took his wallet, and then forced him into the trunk of the car. So the gunman was Abston, and Abston actually drove around for 2 or 3 hours, picked up a couple of friends, tried to get money with Durand's ATM card, was unable to, so actually removed him from the trunk and had him withdraw money from an ATM. Fortunately for Mr. Durand, there was a uniformed housing authority officer nearby, and Mr. Durand was able to yell at him and let him know that he had been kidnapped, and Abston and his friends fled, and Mr. Durand was actually released by them and probably would have been killed, honestly, if he hadn't gotten away. One of the friends that Durand picked up during this rendezvous was a Marquette Cobbins. Marquette Cobbins was young at the time of this incident. Durand actually worked to try to get Cobbins a lighter sentence because he actually heard him tell Abston to let him go and give him his keys. So, nonetheless, Cobbins was sentenced to 7.5 years in prison and was eligible for parole after 18 months. Durand subsequently died in 2013 after a bout of bronchitis and flu, but he did press for Abston to get the heaviest sentence that he could because he did feel like that his life was in danger and that he would have been killed had the housing authority officer not been present and not heard him yelling at the time. So after Durand was released, Abston was actually sentenced to 24 years in prison, and he only served 20 years of his prison term. And the reason for that is because, as we all know, there's overcrowding in the prison system, and because he had actually served some time prior to sentencing, and also because he cooked and did some cleaning and did some laundry at the prison, he was actually released 4 years early. So when we look at the timeline, he was arrested in 2000 and he was released in November of 2020, but was supposed to be in prison until 2024. So I kind of broke down the timeline, which kind of is interesting to me because had he been held in prison for the entire 24 years, then there's a series of other crimes that would not have happened. And we can't help but think this, right? Because, I mean, he grew up, has been in trouble since he was 11, has been held 16 times for different charges, from aggravated assault to rape. So these are not, you know, stealing a candy bar at 7-Eleven. I mean, aggravated assault and rape, y'all, for a 12-year-old. Because he was released in 2020, he was out of prison. And in September of 21, lo and behold, he sexually assaulted someone while armed with a weapon and then fled the scene. Of course, the victim had no idea who he was, went to the hospital and had a rape kit collected, which is what I've done for 21 years, part of my job. We collect kits on people who know their perpetrator just so that we do have evidence for conviction. But we also had many people who would present and had no idea who the perpetrator was. I know that I've had cases where people broke into a home and sexually assaulted someone at knife point or gun point and injured them, but they had no idea who they were. So that does happen. And many times they do know who their perpetrator is, but not always. There are times when a random stranger will break into a house or kidnap someone and whatnot. So that was a situation here. Apparently, September of 21, sexually assaulted someone, fled the scene. So evidence was collected on this victim, but the kit was actually put in storage at a state lab for months. So it was submitted. It was supposed to be expedited, but was not. I'm not 100% sure and do not know if he was a suspect in that rape. However, they were supposed to expedite the rape kit's processing and it was not done. So this kit, which was collected in September of 21, actually sat in the crime lab storage for 10 months after collection and wasn't processed until June of 2022. During this time, from the time he was released in 2020, he is running loose, running free, free to commit crimes after a life of crime. Fast forward to September 1st of 2022, Abston was working for a cleaning service. The cleaning service that he worked for actually cleaned a theater in the Memphis area. And a woman who had been to the theater said that she had left a couple of credit cards at the theater. They had been being used at a gas station by whoever took them. So when she reported this to the police, it was found that Abston actually worked for the service that cleaned the theater. And it was believed that he was the one who took the cards and was using them. So fast forward again to around 4:30 in the morning on September 2nd of 2022, Eliza Fletcher, beautiful young woman, 34 years old, mother of two children, married, school teacher, avid runner, out running at her normal time in the morning and was violently abducted by someone in a dark SUV. And there is video of a violent struggle. There is video of her being forced into the passenger seat of this dark SUV. Apparently, following that abduction or kidnapping, the vehicle sat still for about 4 minutes after she got in before it took off again. The search was on at that point. I believe her husband called 911 and reported her as a missing person at around 7:30 that morning, the morning of September 2nd. So the police began looking for her, and a bicyclist located Eliza Fletcher's cell phone on the ground while she was riding her bike, and then also found a pair of men's Champion slides, kind of like the sandals, in the street in the same area very near where the cell phone was found. So obviously she turned all of this into the police, called the police as soon as possible. The slides were tested for DNA, and they did a rush on it, and it actually only took 18 hours to link Abston to the slides, which were found in the area where Fletcher was abducted. They did get a hit on DNA in the CODIS database, and there were also reports that Abston was found on the morning of September 2nd, which was when the abduction took place. He was seen cleaning his terrain. Later morning, acting strange, and this is the day of the abduction, washing his clothes in the sink, which was abnormal, and just acting strange. And reports say that he was an odd duck anyway. He apparently stood around on the street and propositioned women for sex, offering them $100. Who knows what he would have done to those women had anyone taken him up on that. But he was acting strangely that day, and he was, because his DNA was found on the slides, he was detained for aggravated kidnapping and tampering with evidence. He was being held there in Memphis in Shelby County, and then Eliza Fletcher's body was found on September 5th. Her body was found 3 days after she vanished, and it was located behind an abandoned duplex about 7.5 miles from where she was originally taken. So he was identified as a suspect on the 5th, which is the day that Fletcher's body was discovered. And he was placed on a $510,000 bond. And after her body was discovered, his charges were upgraded to first-degree murder. And so that's after her body was found. Naturally, at this point, we know it's a murder, and we presume because his slides were found at the scene near her cell phone that it was him who did it. So charges were upgraded to first-degree murder from aggravated kidnapping and tampering with evidence. So he was originally charged with especially aggravated kidnapping and tampering with evidence. And I did not know the meaning of that. I had never heard of especially being put before aggravated kidnapping. So did a little research like investigators do. And the differences are kidnapping is knowingly confining someone and actually exposing them to the risk of bodily injury. So kidnapping is a Class C felony. It's punishable by 3 to 15 years in prison and a maximum fine of $10,000. Now, this is in Tennessee, mind you. So aggravated kidnapping is when someone is threatened by using a deadly weapon, and that is a Class B felony, punishable by 8 to 30 years in prison and a maximum fine of $25,000. But especially aggravated kidnapping is actually holding a victim for ransom, and then the victim suffers serious bodily injury. This is a Class A felony. It's punishable by 15 to 60 years in prison with a maximum fine of $50,000. So The original charge was especially aggravated kidnapping and tampering with evidence. And then now we are upgraded to first degree murder. One thing we also know about Abstin is that he went by the nickname Wild Child, and he also went by the nickname Pookie, which doing research actually is slang for a pipe used to smoke meth and crack. So there's that. I found this case very interesting, and I did go back and I researched how many times Abstin had been detained and when he entered into the juvenile court system. Just out of curiosity, if anything else, like, who is this guy? Why has he been in so much trouble? And here he is out on the street again, released from prison 4 years early, only to sexually assault someone and then steal credit cards and start spending money on them, and then abducting someone and actually murdering them. So also in doing a little bit of background check on him, Abstin's father is Cleo Brown Henderson. He is currently in the South Central Correctional Center for second degree murder, and he's scheduled to be released in 2044. So Abstin's father, Cleo, was actually in prison when this second series of crimes were committed after Abstin was released from prison in November of 2020. So his father, Cleo, was actually found to be a range 2 offender, which means a multiple offender, so or a repeat offender. So basically, this was not his first rodeo either. He actually was convicted in 2010 of killing a gentleman by the name of Reuben Jefferson. The story is that the two men were inside a grocery store slash club in the Memphis area. They started to get into an altercation. They went outside. One of the gentlemen removed their shirts, and Cleo Henderson said that someone handed him a gun and told him that the victim or the other gentleman, Mr. Jefferson, had a silver gun. And so in order to prevent himself from being shot, Henderson shot Mr. Jefferson in the head. He went to prison in 2010 or shortly thereafter and is still scheduled for release in 2044. However, he appealed in 2013. He appealed and he was claiming insufficient evidence, but the court affirmed the judgment and he is actually still in South Central Correctional Center until 2044. He may have been moved. I'm not 100% sure, but he is still in custody and is scheduled for release in 2044. Interestingly enough, I also found that Abstin had a brother that was 2 years younger than him. He was arrested. His name was Mario. He was arrested during the investigation of Abstin after the rape and the theft and the abduction, charged with possession of a controlled substance with intent to manufacture and sell fentanyl, and intent to manufacture and sell heroin. And he was also a convicted felon and was in possession of a firearm. So he was arrested. So we have dad arrested, brother arrested, and now Abstin arrested. Just a long history of being in trouble. I don't understand personally why someone who's been in trouble for so long and has continued to have issues with aggravated assault and weapons, theft, and rape. All these things are huge crimes. I don't understand why he was released from prison 4 years early just because he cooked and cleaned at the prison. I don't know if y'all agree with me or not, but that's kind of my stance on it. And I mean, in doing my studies, those are things that bug me about this case. Also, just knowing over the years how backlogged they are in processing the rape kits, and this is everywhere, and it's because of budget restrictions and staffing issues. It's a process. It takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of money. In a lot of places, these rape kits are being put on a shelf, and these perpetrators are running loose while these victims are sent home in hopes that someday the perpetrator is found so that they don't have to live in fear anymore. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of share all of that research with y'all. I've been looking into it. Again, it just hit really close to home for me. My kids are the age of this young woman, just beautiful. You know, she has two children and a husband, and had, I'm sure, a classroom of kids that loved her and coworkers and family members that adored her. It's just so sad that she had to go through this. I don't know. I'm curious to see what y'all's thoughts are. I'm disappointed sometimes in the system. Disappointed that people are many times found guilty before they are proven innocent, instead of vice versa. I've seen it happen a lot. Someone doesn't really do anything and all of a sudden they're in jail. Yet this guy commits so many crimes, heinous crimes, and gets out early because he does some dishes and some laundry. Anyway, let me know your thoughts. I wanted to really research the timeline because it was just really interesting to me how this started at such a young age, and he just continued to go through the court system and ended up released only to commit more crimes. Thank you so much for joining me today on Pushing Up Lilies. If you like this podcast and would like to share with others, please do me a quick favor and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps to make the podcast more visible to the public. Thanks again for spending your time with me, and be sure to visit me at pushinguplilies.com for merchandise and past episodes.